You're listening to The Big Show with Russick and Rose on the official home of your Calgary Flames, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Hour number two, live from Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studio. It's The Big Show, Russick and Rose, Sportsnet 960 The Fan. We're asking you, Aaron Rodgers was on Sirius XM yesterday on Mad Dog Sports, and he was talking to Adam Schein and said, "Hey, I'm a Katy Perry. I'm a Taylor Swift fan. Folklore is my favorite album." He came out full out as a Swiftie. And we're asking you at 960-960 on the South Trail Hyundai text line, what is the most embarrassing song, artist, or group that you listen to that nobody in your life knows? This one's courtesy of Robin Lethbridge. Embarrassing song, artist is anything by Katy Perry, especially Firework, that nobody knows in his life that he's probably singing along to right now. Keep him rolling in, 960-960, name and location.
Like, the thing that is going to be a common theme between all these songs is that the beats are going to be infectious.
Oh, for sure.
They're all earworms.
Yeah, for sure. At the bottom of the hour, Caleb Joseph, former Major League Baseball catcher, Sportsnet baseball analyst, going to join us. Talk about Alek Manoah, but more importantly, he's going to give Maddie some swing tips for slow pitch.
Yeah.
That's what I really care about. Let's wait to what Caleb tells you. What are you, Kevin Euclid, with that stance? All right. Joining us on the line right now, though. And later on, your chance to win GameCon tickets. Canada's largest gaming conference in Western Canada. That Alex is going to have some trivia for us later on in the show. And we'll do the Spirit Grass Golf Show. Busy, busy show. But right now, one of our favorites on the show, Sportsnet columnist, former director of scouting on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. We say good morning to Jason Bukala. Books, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, guys. I'm sorry, it's a little bit loud. I'm just down here working with our friends at the NHL Network doing some draft prep and travel day in the U.S., Memorial Day weekend. Not a great day to be in here.
Yeah, it's.
I have to tell you guys something on your lead in there.
Yes.
I heard you about the Katy Perry and the Taylor Swift thing.
Yep.
Taylor Swift has got a double dip here in New York City this weekend.
Right.
And her road crew was staying at our hotel.
Oh.
And let me tell you something. What a lifestyle that is. Oh, my goodness. You can't be long for life doing that every night of your life. It was something to behold. Wow. Craziness.
That is awesome. Electric. And she's selling out stadiums all over North America.
The shows are... Yeah. Ridiculous when it you is. See him. She's playing in rainstorms. Like, it's been pretty nuts.
She's, again, there's a lot of Swifties out there, Books. Wanted to ask you, there's a lot of, I don't know if the word, if bitterness is maybe the right term, but if you're a Calgary Flames fan and you look at all these players the Flames have drafted, Johnny Gaudreau, Keith Tkachuk, Sam Bennett, obviously Adam Fox, who never played for the team. Like, and a lot of them aren't even on the team making impacts across the league. Should Flames fans at least be optimistic that at least this organization gets it right in the draft more times than not, maybe? Or at least at the top of the draft?
Oh, good question. I mean, the best way for me to put it right now is that it's a new era in Flames territory moving forward. So what I believe is that they've had some really good players on the underbelly that haven't had an opportunity to thrive in the organization for a variety of reasons over the last, number of years. And we can go down that rabbit hole another day, I guess. But they do have some guys that are on the come see here that should be able to fill out spots in the lineup. Middle six to depth and potentially higher next year and beyond. And this draft is, really important, obviously. I mean, they've got their first and their second. But more importantly, guys, knowing that we were going to get together today, I was trying to really strategize the depth of the organization outside of even selecting players in the draft. And what direction are they going to go in the next – 5-6 weeks is going to be fascinating to me because you can't let's say they name Backlund captain. Okay, good. You got to assume that he's going to sign an extension if that happens. Where are you going to go with Lindholm? Where are you going to go with the Foley? Hey, Mackenzie Weegar's having a heck of a world championships in case anybody hasn't noticed. So, all these UFAs will dictate the direction moving forward. And I believe in the regime coming in right now, there's a lot of it's like a new car right now, right? You know, everybody's excited, and I think that Craig Conroy is going to do a heck of a job there.
Jason, our friend of the show, Julian McKenzie, wrote this piece on The Athletic in his mailbag about potentially an Elias Lindholm deal to the Columbus Blue Jackets, and Aaron Portsline, who covers the Jackets for years, kind of said, yeah, maybe the Jackets would get together on an Elias Lindholm trade if Lindholm would sign an extension in Columbus to obviously be reunited with Johnny Gaudreau, and maybe the third overall pick could be a part of that deal. If you're the Calgary Flames, what kind of franchise changer, if they could actually swing this, would a Leo Carlson be to Calgary, potentially? If that's the guy they're taking third, Books, is that the guy you would take third?
Yeah, he's third on my list right now. I think that you can't avoid the reality with the kid. He's like big body, 6'3", can play the middle, can play the wing, more of a distributor than a shooter. So that would be a little bit of a, given where they are at with Naz and Jonathan. Jonathan needs somebody in the middle to distribute him the puck a little bit more next year. So, you know, earlier on, a guy like Carlson might even be able to slide into some of these roles. You couldn't ignore it. I mean, that's the bottom line. If they were to do that trade, though, and we shared it over text yesterday, and I took pause on it, but it makes a lot of sense for both organizations. But the caveat has to be that it doesn't send the wrong message to the group in Calgary that we're going in a different direction, because I do believe that this team, let me put it this way, everybody who's listening, you have a boss and you don't like going to work every day. And because of that, your production, falls off and you're just not motivated to do a good job. I would suggest that you're going to get 10 to 15% more out of the group next year, just because everybody's going to be happier. 10 to 15% got you in the playoffs this year. And then you could have been the Florida Panthers, right? Like, honestly, if they got in the playoffs. So it's delicate. Like, do you move a guy out and, sacrifice the fact that, we still could be a good team next year and go on a run? I guess ownership will dictate that. But I will say this, if I'm running the draft table, that's an attractive offer that I would seriously have to ponder, and it wouldn't just be a 24-hour thing. That makes sense to me, that deal.
And that, I think, is fascinating for a lot of fans as well, because like you mentioned, all of this essentially comes down to what's going to happen with these seven players that have one more year left of term. And I just wonder, there's Michael Backlund in there, there's Tyler Toffoli, Noah Hanifin, Chris Tanev. This top 60 players in this draft is looked at as very strong. How many of these guys do you think could help the Flames maybe get into this top 60 if those players tell Calgary, I may be long for testing the market after this season?
Oh, geez. A lot of these guys could help them get into that top 60. And the fact of the matter is they don't have a third, and it would be nice to get an extra second out of some of these transactions. Anything in the top four rounds, to be honest with you, because you could flush out a goalie in the fourth round, for example, and there's a couple of good ones in the middle of the draft. Not first-rounders, but good solid prospects in there because Dustin Wolf, I'm projecting him being on the NHL roster next year. I don't see how you can hold him back. That would just be a travesty at this point. Like, you got to give him a chance, right? So now, do you move Ladar out? Like, if you move Ladar out, I think there's going to be an appetite for him out there. And not only will you maybe be able to get a depth piece to fill out your American League roster between the pipes, I think you can be in that third round type of market as well. So I'm with you guys. Like, they're in between a little bit, like some, like Backlund's 34, like, yeah. So that's a short-term re-up. Coleman's here for a while. Lindholm's only 28, so we got time there. I don't know, guys, I'm a little bit, if the owner thinks we can win next year, I think we can. I think we can go, but the sustainability of the group long-term is going to have to get readjusted through some draft picks.
Wanted to ask you a little bit about Craig Conroy, the new Flames general manager. And I think one of the assumptions on Craig is that he's going to be too nice of a guy for this role. But I personally believe that his competitive nature is going to overcome a lot of that. Do you get that feeling? How do you kind of look at Craig Conroy in a general manager chair from the outside?
Well, anybody who's put the time in that he has from the grassroots up, the trend in the National Hockey League has been that a lot of these guys who've got the GM chairs have gotten sooner than later. This is the reverse of that, right? Here's a guy who was not only a 1,000-gamer, came to Calgary, loved the community, brought up his family there, But then he put in all this time. He knows intimately the inner workings of the entire organization. And he's a great guy in the community, as we all know. I think this is a fantastic opportunity. The one thing I will say here, though, is that Brad Treliving, who I don't know personally, but I know enough and certainly around the league, he was a superhuman being as well. Like, don't discount that. Yeah. So I'm excited. To be honest with you, I'm re-energized about the Calgary Flames right now. Strategically, it'll be interesting how things shake out. But I was overseas at the U18. Craig and his staff were sitting right around me on the plane both ways. Craig Conroy was, getting luggage down for ladies in our area of the plane when we were deplaning. Like, he's just a good human being that I think there's gonna be a significant uptick in joy with the Calgary Flames. So the strategy just has to have to play out now.
Former director of scouting, Sportsnet columnist Jason Bukala joining us here on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Big Show, Russick and Rose, Sportsnet 960, The Fan. What do you think the Flames do with Matthew Phillips?
Fascinating, isn't it? Group 6 free agent, which is, you never like your guys to get the Group 6 free agency because that tells you that you didn't give them enough NHL games and you lose control of the players. So I don't know if he wants to stay. He's got complete control right now. I would like for him to re-up. I would like for him to get a chance with the new regime. I think he's going to play NHL games next year with an organization. I hope that ship hasn't sailed for the group. I know he's an undersized guy. I know all the drawbacks, but I think the former coach discounted that. You got to give him a runway, fellas. It's like small scoring guys. You don't give him fourth line minutes, 8 minutes, and whatever. They never get in the groove of the game. You got to give him a runway and then see how it works out. And I think that's one of the ones that's a glowing example is he should have got a chance. That's how I'm going to leave it with it. A skilled guy that did everything he needed to do, he should have got a chance. Let's hope that ship hasn't sailed.
But Jason, how hard is it to get over that hurdle of the guy is far and away the smallest guy on the ice? Like, just how hard is that him? I know the American Hockey League, it's a lot bigger step to play in the NHL than it is in the American Hockey League. Can that guy with that size be a successful NHL, or is that even possible?
Not sure. But, what he's done so far is he's given himself an opportunity to get a longer look than he has. And that's what's too bad about this situation, because as a group six, you're able to walk away, right? Am I positive that he's going to be able to play to his identity? No. But did he get enough of an opportunity? No. And that's the bottom line for me. So it's going to be hard. I mean, there's going to be some heavy lifting that, let's be honest, at 150 pounds or whatever he is it's not really doable on a nightly basis. But, hey, high-end skill guys should improve your power play. With some other guys, some meat around them on the top of the lineup, hopefully he can play to his identity and sprint around a little bit. I just come back to asset management. That's my hang-up here. I don't know the true answer if he can do it yet, but it leaves a bad taste in my mouth the way the asset was handled, and that's why I believe the kid deserves a chance.
Jason, we're watching the Florida Panthers get into the Stanley Cup final here with their victory over the Carolina Hurricanes. And I'm just wondering how you're looking at this Florida Panthers team. Did you expect them to go on a run like this after they snuck into the playoffs as someone who would, have a pretty good idea of the workings of that organization?
No, I don't think anybody thought that this was going to happen. I mean, I think they spent a grand total of maybe 50 days in a playoff position the entire season and snuck in by a point. And, who would have thought the Pittsburgh Penguins were going to, implode the way they did at the end of the year. No. But it goes to show, guys, that once you get in and if you play as a group, you play, hard in the trenches and you don't let each other down, and, of course, you did great A goaltending, anything's possible. And I know it's a cliche. Everybody says that every year. I just got to get in. Well, here's another glowing example of just getting in gives you a chance. And they caught lightning in a bottle, and good on them. I'm happy for a lot of people that are that I used to work with down there. It's an exciting time for those in South Florida.
How do you think Jonathan Huberdeau and Mackenzie Weegar are watching this run? Well, Weegar's at the World Championship, so he's probably not, but yeah.
Yeah. Weeds is having a fantastic time overseas, and Jonathan's not happy, because I can guarantee you Jonathan's back home right now in Las Olas area at his place, driving his golf cart around or whatever, and he's not happy about it. So, which is a good thing, because those two and that trade, like, don't anybody get their you-know-what in a knot too much here. This year was an anomaly for the Calgary Flames and the return in that deal. What you're seeing is everybody hype up the obvious, and that's, you know, Tkachuk, who's had a heck of a season, great playoff. They're hyping up the deal, saying, you know, this is a steal, this is that. Listen, this deal hasn't played itself out in its entirety yet. Be patient. I know that stinks because nobody wants to hear that in sports, but this is going to be okay in Calgary land. Just be patient. Things are going to work out.
Jason, do we forget that the Panthers won the President's Trophy last year? That this isn't that much of a surprise, really?
Well, we don't. I don't. And but you know, they obviously made some deals. One thing I just want to circle back on real quick for you
sure.
guys is that it's interesting that Zito came in, and here's, you know, with Conway coming in for Calgary, like, he could take a look at the landscape of the team. And he could say to himself, okay, well, this is what I'd like to do, A, B, C, and D, to put my own mark on the team. Craig has got assets right now that he can move out to either acquire draft picks or bring in a different style of player for the Flames. That's exactly what Bill Zito did. We left the cupboard full of assets. He didn't like the players. He had his own vision, but he had a lot of options. Mm. And that's what's happening in Calgary, too. They have a ton of options. They want to go draft capital. You want to re-up a few poor guys, You want to take another run at it next year and tweak it, you got that, too. So Florida is an example of a team that won the President's Trophy, but readjusted on the fly. But you need assets to be able to do that, and that's what Calgary has as well.
I thought it was interesting that Craig talked about how he wants to change the style of the team, too, maybe be a little more offensive. Is that easier said than done?
No, I don't think it is. I think, well, it is easier said than done if your roster doesn't have the quality of personnel to be able to play that way. Like, Shillington's hopefully going to come back, right? So I look at their top four in the back end. I like it. Up front, obviously, they need to get more out of it goes without question. You know, Huberdeau, obviously, they get it. But these guys are just itching to you know, to bust out and play a more freestyle. They're not going to turn into the Harlem Globetrotters, but at the same token, right. They're not going to be
the Washington Generals.
Reserve stuff.
Sorry.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
You know what? Here's the funny thing. You know, like, people out there, let's be honest, some people listening to us say that, they don't even know what we're talking about.
Yeah,
right,
it's true.
But anyways, that's how old we are. So
yeah.
They got enough there, guys, to play a different style. It's not going to be difficult. They can't wait to get going.
Wanted to ask you, too, before I let you go, Books, I know you got to jump on a plane. What is the trade value of Noah Hanifin out there?
Very high. Yeah, very high. So, you know, that's another conversation. Like, what's the strategy? Do you want to bring back a – he's not old either, let's not forget. Like, he feels like he's been around for 10 years, but he's not. Guys like Noah Hanifin have high-end value, especially for contending teams. So if he was on the wire, let me tell you, I'd be putting a package together. Don't go down that road. I wouldn't advise it if I were the Calgary Flames. You'll be chasing that, wishing you had a bat.
Okay. Jason Bukala, former director of scouting, Sportsnet columnist on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Books, thanks for this. Safe flight.
Awesome, guys. Have a great weekend. Thanks for putting up with the background noise.
No, it's all right. It's all good. Thank you. Terrific information from Jason Bukala. He was on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Using the same secret recipe since 1975. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. Takeout or delivery at 403-248-3344.
I'm working on a little side project with Books.
Really?
I am.
Look at you.
Mm-hmm. And our boy Lou and our boy Sammy Cause.
Oh. Let me guess. It's draft related?
It might be.
That's fun. You love the NHL draft.
I do. It's where you make your team better.
No,
I wish I had time to watch more college football so I could be more involved in the NFL draft, because that one fascinates me to no end, because that is immediate. It is
right.
Instantaneous how that helps your team. NHL is quick, NBA is an interesting one because they only have the two.
Change your whole franchise.
But they only have the two rounds, so it's an interesting wrinkle. And like free agents are so important. Like an Austin Reeves, that dude wasn't even drafted, right? And I don't know. I'm just fat. And then there's the MLB, which is like, who cares?
Right.
Your 45 rounds. See you in a dozen years. Yeah. Right. So those three leagues, like I'm enamored by the draft.
Well, it feels safer when you draft somebody in the NFL because of you don't draft an 18-year-old. You're drafting like a 21-year-old.
Someone who's played through college.
21, 22, who's played a couple years already.
Unless they're 18 and they're like, oh my God.
Well, no, they can't.
But actually, no, that would be more like NBA.
You got to be 20. 20 is the limit. They can't.
They have to play in college football. Yeah. And you're getting a little safer pick than maybe in the National Hockey League because you're drafting 18-year-olds. Mm-hmm. And obviously, like the Hawks, they feel pretty good at where they're sitting.
Yeah, I figure the top three, I think Carlson, Fantilli, and Bedard are probably playing next
again,
year.
Again, like,
for sure.
Lindholm for Carlson. Well, the third pick, which would be Leo Carlson.
Like I said, like if Lindholm makes it very clear that he's not signing an extension, I think this is a good alternate route to go. I think you got to explore what else is out there and see if you can get anything comparable. But this would be a great deal.
Craig talked about it at his presser. You can't go into the season without that guy locked up.
Exactly what I mean.
Either you trade him or you sign him. You can't go into I don't know if he's going to sign, if he's not going to sign. No, like maybe you even do a sign and trade with the Jackets where Lindholm signs and then they trade him with that extra year.
The problem with a sign and trade is then you can trade him at the draft because he's not eligible for an extension until July 1. But that's semantics.
Well, no, the Jackets can draft Leo Carlson and then they can trade him if they kind of have like a handshake deal.
Exactly,
they can do that. Like, we want Lindholm and he's going to sign an extension, but like, nudge, wink, wink, once we can sign him.
All those fans go out and buy Leo Carlson jerseys and they trade him three days later.
Yeah, I'm sure all those fan in Columbus will buy that jersey right away.
Like, Lindholm is an interesting one because he's one of the guys that we talk about that have a lot of value, but he has no trade protection.
Yeah, so that's good.
Backlund has trade protection. Toffoli does not. Hanifin does, and Tanev does.
Mm-hmm.
So three of those seven guys have some power here.
But he's the most important piece
Lindholm?
This offseason. Yeah.
Yeah, without a
Outside
doubt.
Outside of hiring a head coach, it's the number one thing on Craig's to-do list here.
And
getting
that 16th pick right.
Yes.
Because if you miss on this pick in this draft...
Okay, but it's still 16th.
Yeah, but it...
Smack dab in the middle. Like,
I'm not saying he should play this year, but you have to get someone that plays on your NHL team in a number of years here. That's important. And I think that they've got a lot of faith. One of the keys here, too, that I think is important is that the scouting staff is essentially retained.
Yeah.
So it's not like you have to completely kind of start from scraps with a month to go before the draft.
I asked Books even, I saw it on Twitter yesterday, like Bennett, Goudreau, Tkachuk, Fox, all Calgary Flames draft picks. What would the team look like if they were all playing like this on this team?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. And they're all different scenarios, right?
I know. There's a story to every single one
of
them. But I'm just saying, like, they were all picks of the Calgary Flames.
It sucks, dude.
The one guy's up for a heart. The other guy almost won the scoring title. Well, if it wasn't for McDavid. The other guy won the Norris. Like, these are all guys the Flames took in the draft and completely hit a home run with on their picks.
Yep.
They just didn't work out here, which blows.
Yeah, it blows. Blows is a good word to use.
Again, I'm very eloquent.
Like Sam Bennett?
I have a way with words. I'm a wordsmith.
Watching Sam Bennett drives me nuts, dude. Yeah. It's
yeah.
Because that's one guy that I feel like could have worked here.
Yeah.
The other three, it never was going to work. They never wanted to play in Canada. But Sam Bennett, if you had just given him a job and made him go do that job, he probably would have turned into this.
And he's one of those guys that, you know, he's not going to be super dynamic in the regular season, but come postseason, that's your guy. That's your guy.
Like... That's what Blake Coleman is.
Yeah.
Sam Bennett is going to probably continue to keep being that guy as he goes on in his career.
Earlier on in the show, we played an Aaron Rodgers clip. He was on Mad Dog Sports Radio yesterday.
Do you
want to
hear Texty sing fireworks first?
Well, how about we save it?
Okay, we can save it.
For 8:45, because we've got to get to Caleb Joseph. I absolutely want to hear Texty sing firework. Aaron Rodgers was on Mad Dog Sports Sirius XM Radio yesterday. Talked about how he's a Swiftie. He's a Taylor Swift fan. Loves the album Folklore, gave some songs as well. We're asking you at 960-960 in the South Trail Hyundai text line, what's your most embarrassing song, artist, group that you listen to that nobody in your life knows? We're doing these in and out of the breaks. This one's James in Crossfield. Mm. Yeah, this is a summer banger, as he says.
I just met you.
Yeah, we get a couple of Carly Rae Jepsen's this morning. That's why I'm playing this one. Please attach your name so I can give you credit. Mm. Dead serious, not even joking. Carly Rae Jepsen. Her entire albums post Call Me Maybe are incredible. That's the text we got,
incredible.
Too. Incredible. Incredible. Can't miss. Keep these rolling in, 960-960, name miss. And location. Your embarrassing song, artist, group that nobody in your life knows you love secretly, but you want to tell us on the text line. 960-960, name and location. Caleb Joseph straight ahead on Alek Manoah and going to help Matty Rose out with this swing and slow pitch. We'll do that next. It's The Big Show. Russick and Rose, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Your number one spot for Flames coverage can be found on Flames Talk with me, Pat Steinberg. Exclusive interviews, trusted insiders, and the latest news. Listen live weekday afternoons at 4 or stream the Flames Talk podcast on demand.
Are you ready to get fired up for the next game? Nothing helps more than a bowl of Campbell's new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup. Let me tell you, it's got tons of seasoned chicken, veggies, and noodles all in a tasty, spicy broth. So it'll fill you up and get you fired up. So take your day to the next level and see if you can handle the heat with the new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup.
The Big Show, Russick and Rose, Sportsnet 960, The Fan, live from Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studio. Keep this going, Alex. This is courtesy of AJ from Edgemont. The Rhythm of the Night by DeBarge. This is a banger. This is an 80s banger. Not you guys. You guys have no idea what this song is.
That's a lie.
You know this song?
Of course I know this song.
Turn it up, Alex.
With the like steel drum.
Ding, oh, yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
DeBarge, they're all brothers and sisters.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I guess you know more than that. Hit it, Alex. Chorus time.
Oh, the rhythm of the night.
Keep them rolling in. Aaron Rodgers on Sirius XM. Mad Dog Sports Radio said he's a big Taylor Swift fan. What's the song, artist, group that you're super embarrassed to not tell any of your friends you love, that you secretly love, but you want to tell us on the South Trail Hyundai text line, 960-960? We're playing them in and out of the breaks all morning.
You know what playlist this would be on?
What's that?
Yacht Rock.
Oh, yeah.
Yacht Rock Radio.
Yacht Rock Radio.
Because of course I'll have a second pina colada.
Smooth grooves of these Yacht Rock tunes.
Top of the hour, Derek Wills, the radio play-by-play voice for the Calgary Flames, will join us. And your chance to win weekend passes to GameCon Canada, which goes down at the BMO Center June 23rd to the 25th. Alex will have some video game trivia for you. But right now, on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, former Major League Baseball catcher, current Sportsnet baseball analyst, we say good morning to Caleb Joseph. Hey, Caleb, how are you?
Good morning, fellas.
Do you have an embarrassing song that you want to share with us that a lot of people in your life don't know? Embarrassing song, group, artist that you like?
I was thinking, and I mean, maybe Shania Twain.
Oh, okay.
All right. Feel Like a Woman.
I mean, yeah. Let's go, girls.
That's what I like. We'll play you. We'll play you out with that, Caleb. How's that?
Sure.
Okay.
Love it.
I love what you said about Alek Manoah last night. We're gonna get to that in a minute. But my man over here, Matty Rose, is playing slow pitch, Caleb, and he's struggling at the dish right now with his swing. Can you please give him some swing tips so Matty can start crushing the ball in slow pitch? Some things he should do.
Yeah, sure.
All right, go ahead.
Swing up. So it's all about getting on plane. And if you're playing slow pitch and that ball is coming from a higher plane, you've got to swing straight up to get on plane. If you try and swing level, you've got one spot to hit it. So get on plane with that high pitch and feel like you're swinging up.
Oh, okay.
Makes sense?
Yeah, it makes total sense.
Yeah.
So he also wants to know, what about his feet positioning, his elbow, his shoulder?
How far apart should my hands be? Like 6 inches?
No, stop that.
Oh.
Yeah. Now that's going to take a trip to Calgary and about $1,000 lesson. So if you want to fork that out, you just let me know.
All right, I like it. Yeah, we got your number. Fly out here, yeah. Maddie. All of a sudden, a swing up. There you go. Swing up, Maddie Rose.
Noted. I'm going to write that down.
Write that down.
Swing up.
I loved what you had to say about.
Plate.
Yeah, on plane. There you go. Love what you had to say about Alek Manoah's performance yesterday. So if you're behind the plate catching Alek Manoah yesterday and the Rays are just running roughshod on the base pass, what would have been your reaction back there, Caleb?
Oh, I'm making a mound visit probably after the first two stolen bases, and I'm saying, hey, I don't know about you, but I don't like guys scoring, and they're going to continue to score unless we make a change. And probably with a little bit more colorful language, it was just too predictable. And I think this has to do with Manoah being a traditionally slow worker who likes to use the pitch clock to his advantage. He's always liked to kind of hold the ball. And you look at last year, how he liked to make the hitter call timeout. And it's kind of a technique that I don't think anybody's really doing anymore because they don't have enough time. But there was... In years past, you would hold the ball and hold the ball and hold the ball, especially with a runner on base, to not only kind of mess up that runner's timing, but try and get the hitter to call timeout. Now that you have the timer, that hitter knows that you're going to throw the ball within 8, 9, 10 seconds, depending on when he comes set. And it was just so predictable. He was coming set, holding until either 3, 2, or 1, and then letting it loose, and they just found that pattern and started taking off. And so you've got to go out there as a catcher and say, hey, dude, you have to throw the ball at 7, then 1, then 5, then 9, then 3. It's called mixing your looks. And this is stuff that you work on at a very early age in your professional career. And to me, it's just what happens when you've got other things going on and you're trying to execute pitches. That's important. You want to execute pitches, yet you also don't want to turn singles or base on balls into doubles or triples. So, it turned into a track meet yesterday, and they lost the game because of it. They had 7 stolen bases. 5 of them ended up scoring, and they had the tying run at the plate in the ninth, and it cost them the game, in my opinion.
Obviously struggling with holding runners on, but also just the numbers flat out, Caleb, have been eye-popping for Alek Manoah this season. Among MLB starters, 6th worst in ERA, worst in whip, worst in balls per 9 inning, and worst in pitches per innings pitched. Like, is this an instance where how much longer can the Blue Jays put this guy out there for him to try to figure it out before they have to think, you know, maybe this isn't the level where he has to try to figure things out?
Yeah, it's a question swirling around right now. And I think the next question you need to ask is, well, who's going to come up? And, you know, teams can figure that out. Teams can figure that out. And it's not about who's coming up and are they better than Manoah. It's about Manoah's future. It's about sending a message. It's about a number of different things, in my opinion. And I'm not saying that I would necessarily write up right now send him out, but there needs to be a message sent. And would you make a move like this if they were to do it? You could send a message through that clubhouse, because as a whole, they haven't gotten it done. As a whole, they have played pretty sloppy baseball, self-inflicted wound baseball over the last 2 weeks or so. And what happens is you don't want one of your quote aces in Manoah to get so far down the rabbit hole that he forgets who he is, has absolutely zero confidence, and it kind of starts to derail his career a little bit. I do feel like he was making strides with Danny Jansen, his previous start, when it came to the walks were down. He only walked one person. He got a few strikeouts. It wasn't pretty or perfect, but it was absolutely a step in the right direction. I think it was 5 2/3 innings. He probably would have finished that game if John Schneider hadn't gone out there accidentally, forgetting that there was already a mound visit, and he had to pull him. He would have finished that inning. He would have pitched 6 innings, 2 runs. And for me, it's the walks. It's the free passes. He just does not have the location that he he has had in previous starts, going dating back to 2022. I thought Nate Jensen had a nice template in how it looks to kind of get him back on track. And I feel like yesterday they just totally went away from that template.
If the injury to Danny Jensen keeps him kind of in and out of the lineup for a little while moving forward, how much is that going to affect the starters and really the pitchers as a whole?
It could be a big factor. They've got Tyler Heineman up right now, who's on the taxi squad, meaning he's with the club. He's not activated yet. At any point, he could be activated. And they have Rob Brantley down in AAA. And yeah, Danny does such a good job working with the pitchers. I feel like, maybe I said this last time on your show, it took me almost three full seasons in the big leagues to finally understand and realize how to call a Major League Baseball game from behind the plate. I had tons of experience in the minor leagues, and it just takes a while to figure out the ebbs and flows of a Major League game. And it's like a light bulb. And I've talked to so many catchers that have that light bulb moment, like, wow, I finally understand how to really, truly call a game, certain sequences against certain hitters with certain pitchers, et cetera, et cetera. And I feel like Danny really stepped into that early on this season. He finally hit that point in his career where he's calling an excellent game, understanding how to move, understanding how to go out and take mound visits when you need to slow the game down, understanding certain sequences lead to other positions in a game where you can do other things. It can get really complicated and, quite honestly, a bit confusing sometimes, but he's there. So if you lose a guy like that, and then you have Kirk, who still is still trying to continue that process. He's trying to continue his process in learning how to call that major league game like Danny has. It could be disruptive. And honestly, it wouldn't even really surprise me if he missed time, just the way that this last 2 weeks has gone for the Blue Jays. It's disruptive is probably the best word that you can say to describe this team. It's just everything that has happened has just totally disrupted their goals, their aspirations, and their process to get there.
You mentioned the gaffe from John Schneider that saw Alek Manoah pulled in what was looking like a really strong outing. Yesterday, the post-game comment was that it felt like being punched in the face for the last 10 days. I guess just how, if you could give a letter grade to the month of May for John Schneider, what would you give him?
I would probably say B minus. I'd say B minus because John Schneider can't go out there and hold the runner on. He can't not bobble a double play ball. He can't execute a tag. He can't not slide past the base. He can't block a ball behind home plate. So I think you understand what I'm trying to say.
100%.
Their attitude is good. Their effort seems there. This is just about pure execution, and it's one phase of the game at a time that seems to fail them. So over the last 2 weeks or so, you've got the bullpen that blows a couple saves. You've got a couple base running mistakes inside a game that just throw the whole flow off. You've got an unexecuted block, an unexecuted relay, an unexecuted double play. It's one thing after another, and the margin for error in the big leagues to win is so small, and people don't realize how small the margin of error is, especially when you're playing really good teams, which the AL East is full of really, really good teams. You have to play almost a flawless, perfect baseball game to win in the big leagues. And is it too much to ask? No, it's not. This is what happens on championship teams, and I've played on an AL East championship team, and we played almost perfect every single night. And you've got to run the bases well. You've got to execute all your plays defensively. You've got to lock down the game on the back end when you've got the W, and you got to find ways to win close games. And this team has just shot themselves in the foot over and over and over the last 2 weeks. And quite honestly, that's what they were not doing early in the season. They were playing good, clean, solid baseball games. So I give Schneider a B minus because there have been a couple pinch hit scenarios that have really kind of made you scratch your head and kind of raise the eyebrows a bit, just like yesterday, pinch hitting Dalton Varsho for Ernie Clement came in and pinch hit for Dalton Varsho. I mean, this is the second time that Varsho's been pinch hit for. There have been a couple pinch hit scenarios that have really kind of raised the eyebrows, yet the grade of B minus is basically for me because he hasn't panicked in this stretch. And if the manager doesn't panic, the players won't panic. So even though all of Canada that are Blue Jays fans are panicking right now, mm-hmm. if those guys in the clubhouse don't panic, they'll be in good shape.
Caleb Joseph, former Major League Baseball catcher, Blue Jays analyst for Sportsnet, joining us here on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Big Show, Russick and Rose, Sportsnet 960, The Fan. How much would that wear on you, hearing your manager argue balls and strikes like John Schneider has done lately, Caleb?
Well, it wears on you, especially when you know that there's something behind it. The something behind it is your team is not winning. That's just the hardest thing to swallow is, yeah, there's going to be some stuff here and there when you're playing well and it's his job to defend a player on a terrible call. Yet, you know, when it's not going well and it comes out, you know, oh man, there's frustration behind this. Maybe that pitch wasn't even really a ball, but there's a lot going on here, and maybe he's trying to fire the guys up. And I don't mind that either. I like that. You know, sometimes it does. It's kind of like sending the big guy out when the team is off to a slow start in hockey. And sometimes a guy got to go drop the mitts and square up against somebody and get the boys going, get them fired up, change the momentum a little bit. And sometimes an ejection can do that too. So I probably would have been ejected at this point in the last 2 weeks or 17, 18 days that this slide has gone on, just because I'm not sure I would have wanted to sit and watch it. So
get me off this dugout. Yeah.
Yeah. You can spark the team up, and sometimes, you know, getting onto an umpire and funny thing is they know too, they know the scenarios, they know what's going on, and they know it's sort of part of the job description and business, but kind of like the big guy that runs out there and drops the gloves and kind of sparks the team up. The manager can do that too.
Caleb, I know that the Jays players had the quote players only meeting after that loss yesterday. Give us some stories of players only meetings that you've maybe been involved in, and does it actually work?
It can. I've been a part of teams that had meetings that it did work, and I've been a part of meetings that it absolutely meant nothing. I can remember we had some issues with a couple things going on, really one certain player, to be honest with you, and everybody else was kind of getting dragged into this one player's drama. And at the end of a game, we had a very veteran player close the doors. Nobody was in there, and it was just the players. And he walked over to this player literally individually in front of everybody and absolutely aired it out and collectively said for all of us, if you don't clean it up, you're going to regret it because we're not going to have your back next time. And it was pretty powerful. It was an open discussion and everybody was on the same page, and we actually cohesively kind of bonded. And yeah, that was during an AL East championship season. So pretty hard to imagine looking back thinking, man, we had one of those kind of do or die moments where the clubhouse could have split very easily, and yet it decided to come together. So that one worked. Yet heard Kevin Barker talking about this yesterday. Most of the time team meetings are the best players or players that have not been having a rough go at it, standing up, pointing fingers at all those players that have not been playing their game. And that's probably true, but sometimes you need to be accountable. And sometimes somebody needs to look at you and point in your face and say, you're not getting it done. Pick it up. And yeah, that's fine. Like, if you can't handle that, you're in the wrong business. And I enjoyed that. I enjoyed accountability. And even if you are having a good time or or even if you're not playing your best game, when you can stand up and look at a guy in the face and say, I care about you and this team so much that I'm willing to tell you to your face, you need to pick it up right now, or we're not going to get to where we're going, then you actually have something. It's the guys that are too afraid to a man to say something to a guy. And it's not challenging. It's just being truthful. And if you actually really care about your teammates and you care about him as a player too, you will go say something to him. And it doesn't have to be public. And that's why the closed door private meetings are good. I think they can really work. And if you have a group of guys that type of conversation can pull them apart, then you have the wrong guys. You have the wrong guys in the room that can't cohesively come together and win as a team. Then it doesn't matter really how well you play. Eventually, it'll catch up to you and you won't win. So I get what people say, but I've been a part of them that where they actually work. And so I believe that there's some value in having that and doing that.
As you kind of go through everything that you said there, I keep coming back to Kevin Kiermaier, a guy that the Jays brought in this season and kind of checks a lot of those boxes. Like, do you feel like he's someone that was maybe brought in for everything he can do defensively, but also just to have that kind of consummate leader around some of these younger players?
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. And I've talked to so many people who have played with Kevin in Tampa, and they said he was the ringleader. He was the guy who led the celebrations after they were victorious in Tampa, and they've done a lot of winning in Tampa since he's been there. And it's with guys that don't have the huge salaries. It's guys that don't have the notoriety that a Vladimir Guerrero Jr. has. They find ways to win, and he was in that core that really celebrated winning. And I talked to a bunch of players that played with him, said that he is that guy. He's the guy that can hold guys accountable. He plays the right way every day. He will lead by example. And yeah, that's, I think you're talking about a belt. You're talking about Kiermaier, even a Chapman, these guys with getting close to 10. I mean, belt at 13 year service time. I think, Kiermaier's at 11 years of service time, Chapman getting close to 7 or 8, maybe even a little bit more than that. That's when you start to really get that kind of credibility. And I absolutely feel like Kiermaier was brought in to be kind of that guy. It's just a matter of, can they get it on track? And are there any cancers in there that we don't know of that are pulling other people in the wrong direction? I don't think that's the case. I think it's just a matter of pure execution. Excuse me. And at some point, you've got to just execute. You've got to put together a good, clean, solid baseball game, all facets, and that's what it takes to win. You put together two or three of those in a row, you remember what it's like to win again, and then you can go on a 10 out of 12 streak and be right back in the thick of it before you know it. But yep, Kiermaier is that guy. He can step into a room, command a room, have respect in a room, and really help drive that ship.
Caleb Joseph, Blue Jays analyst for Sportsnet, former Major League Baseball catcher. We thank you for your swing tips for Matty Rose, and we got to play you out with your jam. Yeah,
oh, here we go.
Let's go, girls.
Perfect.
Yeah. I like that you admitted this. So now when I watch you on Blue Jay Central, I'm just gonna be like, man, that Caleb Joseph really feels like a woman right now.
I love it. I love it. I'm gonna have to play it now, the whole song.
Yeah, damn right. Thanks, Caleb. Let's do it again soon.
Yeah, you got it.
There he is. Caleb Joseph on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, using the same secret recipe since 1975. Down in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. Takeout or delivery at 403-248-3344. Straight ahead, the voice of the Flames on Sportsnet 960, Derek Wills, on Craig Conroy being named the general manager, the ninth general manager in franchise history. We'll wrap up the week with the Speargrass Golf Show. We're also giving away a 4-pack of weekend passes to GameCon. Alex is going to have a trivia question coming up. And we're still taking your requests at 960-960 on the South Trail Hyundai text line. Aaron Rodgers on Sirius XM yesterday said he's a Swiftie. He's a Taylor Swift fan. Loves the Folklore album. Loves a lot of songs. What's the secret song, band, artist that you listen to that nobody in your life knows that you can tell us 960-960 name and location. It's all straight ahead. Big Show, Russick and Rose. It's a Friday, baby. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.